Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
At Parker, our purpose is simple. We want to make the world a better place. By working more efficiently, by using more sustainable practices, by developing better technologies, we keep moving forward. With each new idea, innovation, and partnership, we're one step closer to fulfilling our purpose every single day. To find out more, visit parker.com/purpose. Parker, engineering your success.
G'day everyone, welcome back to the Sports Ethos New Orleans Pelicans podcast. It is I, Lyle Swithenbank. This is a sportsethos.com presentation, as it always is. You can follow us on Twitter, at Ethos Pelicans, at Lyle Swithenbank. Now, it's the off-season, and of course, we need to have the fantastic people surrounding the team to come and talk to us, and we've done that again today. We have the wonderful Erin Summers. Erin, thank you for joining us. Welcome back. So almost 6 months since your last run here. We were talking off camera. That was the 19th of January. It feels like a lifetime ago.
It was. And the way things have changed since then, it has definitely been very different over since January. We're in a very different spot now than we were then going into this offseason. But then coming out of this offseason, going into this next season is going to be very different from where we were last offseason. A lot of exciting stuff going on around the team.
I tell you what, it's even just watching, I went back and watched all of the squad videos that they were putting out, team were putting out, and to see the start and, you know, I don't know, there was like the obviously 1-12 start and 3-16. We heard this, everyone's talked about it, and, you know,
right. Coach Green's first win was one of just a big moment. Yeah.
I mean, what a start to then now we're getting this national hype of these guys are going to come out the West, if everyone's healthy, if everyone sticks together and we keep it the same. This is not the same team that we were looking at the start of the season at all.
No, but the way that we felt going into last season at that point, we didn't know that Zion Williamson was hurt. So we still thought, you know, I guess we had a more positive outlook on what last season was going to be. And then when that news kind of came out, things changed a little bit. But this year, with him being healthy and the addition of CJ McCollum and the way that Brandon Ingram played and the role players that really stepped up last season, the way Herb Jones played, even Trey Murphy down the stretch, Jackson Hayes down the stretch. It's, and of course you have to add in Jose Alvarado and the way he played at backup point. The team definitely is in a much better position this year, even than they would have been last year had they been completely healthy. Much, much better position. So it's exciting.
Honestly, and perhaps had it not gone the way that it did, we don't get to see the, I suppose, birth of this backup point guard phenomenon in Jose Alvarado. Perhaps we don't see Herb Jones develop into the, you know, lockdown defender. I think they probably were going to do that anyway, but you never know how it's going to play out. Had Zion been healthy and had we had Brandon Ingram the whole year and Kyra Lewis Jr. not getting injured, you know, there was a lot of factors that went into that. I mean,
there was injuries and COVID at times that forced people to step up into different roles or more minutes. And even that type of time on the court in big minutes earlier in their career than maybe they thought they would have been, or maybe Willie Green wanted to put them in, it made them develop quicker. It made them be ready for the moment when we got there in the play-in game and in the playoffs.
And I mean, the playoffs. I don't know if we predicted that back. I was listening back to our earlier episode, and if you haven't listened to it, go back and listen to it, then listen to this one for everyone out there. Because we're much more upbeat in this one, I'll tell you what. I think there was the optimism, but it was, we'll see what happens. But now, you know, hindsight's 2020. We're looking back after a playoff run, pushing the number one seed, record-breaking Suns to six games, and at times looked like we were on top. We could have absolutely won that series, I think, and I think a lot of people agree with that. What a turnaround!
I think being on the inside, so to speak, and going to practices and seeing the way that they were attacking practice, the way that Coach Green was just adamant about how this team was going to get there. They were going to be good. You wanted to believe, you know, I saw it. I was like, yeah, I'm on board. And it started to slowly translate to the court, but it took a little while for, I think, the fan base to see it obviously translate to the games, and then even more so the national media to see it. And I think it was really the trade with Portland adding CJ McCollum created a lot more interest around the team nationally. And then the way that they played, winning those two play-in games, and the way they competed in the playoffs, it was great to see the fans rally around the team. They started buying in, and then really the national media started, you know, perking their ears up, being like, what's going on in New Orleans? Is this something we should be paying attention to? And it's been wild seeing Jose Alvarado do his media tour. I mean, he's been on every network everywhere. People love that guy. And he was undrafted. And what he's been able to turn himself into this year, it's been crazy. But that is the epitome of what this team did. They, you know, obviously nobody had any expectations, and they put in the work, and I think they overperformed what people thought that they would do last year in a big way. And I think they're going to ride that momentum. They've all talked about how much work they want to put in over the summer, how getting that taste of postseason play, you know, they want to keep that going, and they really believe in what they're doing here.
Absolutely. And I've seen on the Instagram there that they have a lot of the guys are starting to come back already. I saw Trey Murphy was already back in the gym, and I think Jose and Herb were back as well.
Herb Jones. Yeah. So all of the younger guys have been in the gym this past week together. It's kind of like we were talking offline about, you know, the Saints and how the NFL has the OTAs. Well, it's kind of similar in this regard, where, you know, you kind of get some of the younger guys to come in, the rookies, and work through some stuff over the summer. And so, yeah, they're all here working out together. They'll be here again next week. And we're hearing lots of rumors about a lot of people showing up for summer league, whether they're going to be playing or not. But obviously CJ is going to be there because he's going to be on the broadcast. And he said last night on the NBA telecast that he's going to bring Zion there to Vegas. Just, he wants him to work out there with him, and he's going to show up. And a lot of other guys are going to, you know, make appearances as well, whether they're playing or not. But we should be hearing from some of the guys, you know, pretty soon, which will be fun.
Yeah, well, I saw that broadcast as well with CJ, and he's saying that to Magic Johnson. And as a fan, you sit there going, that's awesome. That's a fantastic thing. And, you know, to see that buy-in from, you know, he stepped in straight away and become that leader and that a professional, I suppose, who's been around the league for such a long time, which only makes young guys better, I think. And how has his leadership style been as he's coming to this team. I mean, you being around the team, you've seen it. What were your thoughts on that?
I think what was cool is in the beginning, he was just so adamant about this is where he wanted to be. He wanted to play for New Orleans. It was his decision, which was great. Great for the NBA, you know, players president to be saying, I believe in what's going on in New Orleans. I believe in Willie Green. I want to go be a part of this young team. And obviously to say good things about the city and the fan base here as well is huge for just the image of this team and what it's been nationally for a little while. So that was great to start. And then he didn't come in immediately and, you know, start bossing people around or anything like that. He really watched and he got to know the team. He got to know the players, what the players like, their tendencies, you know, took a couple weeks. And then he started sitting down with guys. And obviously the first person he sat down with was Brandon Ingram, because he really wants to work in tandem with him. He doesn't want to come in and take over a team that is probably Brandon's team. Even though he's not a vocal leader like CJ is going to be, you know, Brandon's definitely the one that's led this team with his work ethic, the way that he plays. And so I think CJ wanted to make sure that they complemented each other in the way that they were, you know, taking over the team together. And so, you know, they kind of got on the same page about what they wanted to do, what they thought they could accomplish, how they can help each other out on the court, and then how they can best help the team. So it's been fun to watch that develop. And you see at times Brandon pulling people aside and talking, even Jose, you know, a lot. He'll, during the games, he'll pull him aside and tell him what he's seen or what he thinks he should do. And CJ does that a lot as well. And Coach Green's talked about how just because, you know, you're the head coach or you're the leader of the team doesn't mean you have to yell all the time. It doesn't mean you have to tell people what to do all the time. You know, you can encourage people and be positive and point out good things. And then when there are things that you see that somebody might need help with, that's when you use your voice. And it's not in a demeaning way or talking down to anybody, but hey, maybe we do this, or maybe this is what I'm seeing. What are you seeing, kind of thing. So everybody does a really good job working with each other and respecting each other. And CJ said that from the beginning, you know, I'm not going to come in here and just tell people what to do. You know, I'm going to let people like Herb Jones tell me what he's seen, because I respect him on the court and I want him to respect me. And, you know, I want this to be a thing that we do together, which I think is really cool. Obviously we've seen how he is with the media. You know, he's great. He's got his hand in so many different things outside of the court, which he's also trying to help his teammates with, you know, help them understand the business side of things, which is huge. But yeah, he's not coming in acting like this is his team and you have to do it his way. And he knows everything, which I think is huge.
Absolutely. And we got a bit of a sense of that, the way he has, I suppose, interviewed and the way he spoke about everything. And I mean, even when he got caught, I think he got caught on the spot a bit. It was the All-Star game and they called him out about the Zion. Have you spoken with Zion? And all of a sudden that was, you know, the biggest news. And I don't think it was ever meant to be anything more than a passing comment. And right. Well, maybe it was. And all of a sudden, you know, that turns into the biggest thing. And to see him manage that, and all of a sudden Zion's back at the team, and instead of it being a negative sort of thing, perhaps he was, may have, I don't know, shaken something in him or something to bring him back, but he's back with the team and he all of a sudden sees, this is where I want to be. And that seemed to be a bit of a turning point. I mean,
yeah, I think CJ may call people out a little bit more than maybe somebody like Brandon will.
Yeah, for sure.
Because it's not in his nature. So maybe what CJ was saying with those comments, knowingly, unknowingly, was just like, yeah, we want to see Zion around. We want to talk to him. We want him to be a part of this team. And as you said, in the next couple of weeks, Zion was back with the team and he's been working out here. He's staying there here this summer and he's been in the gym. You know, I pop in there every once in a while. I see him all the time. You know, he's definitely getting his workouts in. He's working with the training staff, and he was very adamant about wanting to stay here this summer and continuing to develop and also to be around the team as they come in for workouts. And as I mentioned earlier, CJ said that last night, you know, I've taken Zion under my wing and I really want to help him. Because, I mean, somebody that comes into the league with that much expectation, everybody watching your every move and having a comment on everything that you do, is got to be so tough for a 19, 20, 21-year-old. Absolutely. I can't imagine if everything that I did was analyzed by everybody on social media. Like, are you kidding me? I would have like crawled into a hole and never came out.
100%. And it's not even, the topic might not even be about him, but he just cops, you know, the offhanded like joke or comment or something. It's in everything because of this, I suppose, the expectation and, you know, the abilities that he has. And he's had that since he was, what, 15, early, even younger, you know, this.
Yeah, yeah.
It's a huge thing. And to see a guy like CJ come in and say, have the, that recognition to say, well, look, I'm going to help this guy succeed. It also helps CJ, you know, at the end of the day, he wants to win a championship and he can see that Zion is going to be a big part of that. So all of those improvements are just going to be fantastic. Another thing, I know we've talked about CJ for a bit, but that relationship with Brandon Ingram has just, it seems to be fantastic. It was obviously a bit of time on the court to get adjusted to that. We saw that, I think it was three or four games directly after the trade. They went and had a few wines in that all-star break, as we've heard, and came back and, wow, we started blowing teams out of the water, three or four games in a row of 20-plus wins, 20-plus points, pardon, in the win.
Yeah.
How is he?
It's all about your chemistry on the court. Yeah. You know, at this point, Brandon, if he didn't have a good game, Pelicans were not going to win, right? I mean, 100%. That's just kind of how it was. Like, Brandon had to be the guy. And so it was kind of trying to figure out that give and take between the two of them on the court and what was going to work best. Mm. And I really like that Brandon he can definitely turn it on still. And he almost, I think, has gotten better because maybe there's not that much pressure on, as much pressure on him. He knows he has somebody else there in CJ who is a guaranteed scorer, and all the load doesn't have to be on Brandon. So he can play more free, and he's playing, you know, just playing in rhythm, like playing the game. And he seems way more comfortable. It's been fun to see him turn it on down the stretch. You know, in the fourth quarter, Brandon seems like he's just brings it another level. But I think that that's been huge, just knowing that it's not all on your shoulders. And CJ's done a really good job, again, of both of them. They love watching film and really seeing what works for each other, how they can, you know, get to someone's spot or where they can set them up on the court. And even with, you know, the other guys, Jonas and Jackson, trying to play to their strengths. We saw Jackson really blossom, and then Jonas, gosh, he works so hard every game. I mean, the poor guy, he gets off the court every night and he's like, cause like everything hurts. Right. And then he's like, oh, I will rest when I am done playing. Like, I'll just get back out there. It's fine. And he just, that's it. Like, just, he works. You love it.
Yeah. He gets absolute hammering every single game. Mm-hmm. And I think to be such a big fella, they get away with a lot on him. Like, it's thrown around, he's getting belted across the face.
Right, like, just because he's big doesn't mean that he can take more blows. Like, that's not how it's supposed to work.
It's still a foul. And, you know, I feel for him. And you see him run up the court, and then you'll see someone take a quick shot, and he'll look back and run back down the court and grab the rebound. And honestly, his contributions this year as well, I think if you split the season into two halves, he was almost the first half of the season MVP. I think he was such a great influence around the team. We knew that he could score, he could rebound. You knew what you were going to get from him. And,
you know, especially he's consistent. When Brandon got injured, he showed up every game. He played I think there was only like one or two games, really, not too many that he had to sit out because of injury. Yeah. Or, oh no, he was sick that he sat out. Right. So yeah, I mean, he played through a lot and he gave you a ton of minutes. He played more minutes than he's ever played in his career. And Coach Green was like, "Hey man, I'm sorry." And he said, "No, it's okay. Like I'm here to play and give me more. I'm good."
Yeah.
And he really took a lot on, a lot more than people probably realized, as you mentioned, early in the season when they really did need, you know, just that one, like the stability of a player like that.
Absolutely. I mean, he's another one of those guys that's been around the league for a while, older guy. I mean, he's 6 months younger than me, so that makes showing my age. Well, I'm showing my age. I mean, he's only 30, but, you know, that... It's helpful around younger players to have those guys that have been around the league and the stabilizing forces, I guess, and guys that have seen different things, been in different teams, know what good locker rooms look like, know what bad locker rooms look like. I think you can't put a price on having good veteran leadership around the team. And I think we saw that translate a bit to these younger guys. And speaking of Jackson Hayes, well, I mean, what a revelation he was. Went from that benching, sent down to the G League, plays a bit of the four spot, and is a different guy. He's unbelievable on the court, and the confidence sky high. And, you know, Jackson Hayes's, I mean, what a year he had. A bit of a roller coaster, but what were your thoughts, I suppose, going in down the stretch? He became really important for us.
I was really impressed about his transition and the way he handled it mentally, because he had never gone to the G League before. He was in his third year, didn't go as a rookie, and he never spent time down there. So in your third year, to be sent down to the G League, to be benched when he thought he was going to be the guy coming in and playing all the time, starting, and the way that he kind of accepted that, and he said, you know, he leaned on the other guys that he was with down there, with Trey Murphy and Najee Marshall went down, and they kind of stuck together. Because I think even Trey went through a little bit of that mentally, you know, thinking he was going to come in and contribute right away. And it's just the adjustment to the NBA. It's different, especially somebody like Trey, who was brought in to be more of a catch and shoot kind of guy, somebody who's not going to create his own shots. Well, if you don't have somebody like Zion on the court, those shots, you're not going to have those open looks for Trey just to catch and shoot. Like, you know, what they were able to do changed without Zion on the court, and it affected their vision for Trey. Trey's done a really good job of developing his game. We've all seen all of his Instagrams and how much he's been in the gym this summer, and just learning. I think once he can learn how to, you know, create for himself, his game is going to be completely different. That's beside the point. That just went down a
No.
I got sidetracked. But Jackson, Jackson, you know, stuck with the process, and I think, you know, you hear from the fans sometimes begging for, oh, let's try Jackson. Let's do this. Why is he not playing more?
Sure.
But I think that they really needed to go through it the way that they did to make sure his approach was right mentally, and let him have his time to go down, get confidence at the G League level, and work with him as far as that position change went. And it really happened because they lost a huge defensive mind and an asset in Josh Hart. And so they needed somebody else that could contribute. And Jackson's athleticism, his ability to guard, you know, one through four, was huge. So they were trying to figure out how we can make up for what we lost in Josh Hart on the defensive side. And they're like, well, you know, Jackson is long. He can get out in the perimeter. He's athletic. He's quick. Like, let's see what it could look like with him there. And that's when, you know, the move was made and it clicked. I think he felt more comfortable in that role. He said that being able to contribute on the defensive side gave him the confidence on the offensive side to be who, I mean, the guy shot, I think it was like 65% on the year. Most of them were dunks. I get that. But he was effective in his role and did what they needed him to do. And I think that he's only going to get better. It was fun to watch him kind of go through that and come out on top, because I think it was difficult for him to have to kind of go up and down, to be benched, and then getting the opportunity, getting comfortable in the role that Coach Green is putting him in. And again, a lot of it goes back to Coach Green and the way that he really listens to the players and works with them, because in order to get the most out of your player, like, you want it to be something that they're comfortable with, that they want to do, right? And so how can we come to a middle ground here on something that will work for both of us, that work for the team? And I think he's done a really good job with that throughout the season.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
At Parker, our purpose is simple. We want to make the world a better place. By working more efficiently, by using more sustainable practices, by developing better technologies, we keep moving forward. With each new idea, innovation, and partnership, we're one step closer to fulfilling our purpose every single day. To find out more, visit parker.com/purpose. Parker, engineering your success.
Save big money at Menards. Gorilla tapes, glues, and adhesives are perfect for jobs around the house, indoors and out. Gorilla Heavy Duty Construction Adhesive has a 100% waterproof formula that provides a secure bond on any surface. From trim work to landscape block to hanging mirrors, it's all-purpose and holds in 30 seconds. Pick it up for your project and head to Menards.com to see all of our great deals going on now.
Save big money at Menards.
And that's actually where I was going to go with it. I was going to then move to Willie Green, and exactly from Jackson. I remember when he first was benched and there was the questions, why are you playing Jackson? And he kept it in house. He didn't give any sound bites. He didn't rubbish any players. He didn't say that he needed to work on this or he can't do that. Or it was very much, that's a conversation between me and Jackson. And he knows what he's got to work on, or something along the lines of that. And I thought it was a very tasteful way to do that, particularly with younger players. And as a coach that's come in and has to get to know these players, you're trying to build rapport with them all. And you're also trying to work out what clicks for each player. Not everyone responds to, you're no good at this, I need you to be better. Some guys need a pat on the head. Another guy needs, you know, a benching. Another guy needs more minutes or less minutes, you know, changing role. And I think Willie Green was fantastic this year as someone who was able to identify what worked for different players and get the best out of them. What did you think?
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, I think the difference between Willie Green and Van Gundy is it's stark. And they're very different coaches.
<Didn't say that. laughs>
Their approaches are very different. And sometimes players react to, you know, the tough love. And sometimes the players, you know, need a little more encouragement.
Absolutely.
And Coach Green, you know, has said at times, I think it was like halfway through the year, he said, you know, my approach is it's an 80-20, where 80% of the time we're talking about what worked, what was good, what you did well in the last game or lately or whatever. And then 20% of the time it's like, all right, but in this situation, let's try this. Or let's, you know, work on this. And I think that that helped this team grow, because you reiterate the good things, and you get that to be your practice. You know, they're like, all right, well, this is good. This is what he wants me to do. I'm going to keep doing this. And you feel good about that. And then you have a couple things that you need to work on. And he's not calling you out in front of everybody. You know, he'll point some things out as a group, but he's not going to point out somebody individually in front of the group. He lets that go to the player development coach, your person that you work with one-on-one. So those are, you know, more private conversations where you can be more vulnerable. I mean, you have a close relationship with your player development coach, and you can really talk about more of the intricacies of the game as it applies to you and your role, rather than being called out in front of everybody. And I think that worked really well with people. And then, as Coach Green said, at times he would pull somebody aside individually, and it was never to reprimand somebody or yell at somebody. It was just to have an open dialogue about what the player was seeing, what coach was seeing, and how can we meet in the middle here and find something that works for both of us.
Yeah, I think as even from the outside looking in, we felt that, and just the mutual respect. And that was something I think perhaps it wasn't maybe advertised quite as well the year before with Stan Van Gundy. Maybe we didn't see that with all the COVID, and there was lots of different things. Right. I'm not going to try to say I know anything about any of that, but it was a much more difficult situation, I think. And this year it was a bit of a reset. And I think the Pelicans did such a good job in, you know, bringing in the right people, finding that right mix of veterans and, you know, young guys, and moving Josh Hart and Nikhil. That was tough. That was like one of the toughest things. I've never been that attached to a team like ever.
Yeah. I know. And I think we talked about this, you know, it's my first time going through a trade in the middle of a season like that, where you lose people on the team. I never had to deal with that because I worked in college sports, and you don't do that. You know, you don't like just trade people in the middle of the season. No, now you have new people. So it was weird to know that those guys weren't going to be around anymore. And I appreciated what they brought, you know, especially Josh, the way that he played. And then Nikhil is such a nice guy. Like, you just wanted it to work out for him. And so it was hard, but, and then seeing them show up at the game and the support and love that everybody had for each other. And then Josh showed up in the playoffs when he got back. Like, I turn around and he's standing there right behind me, and I'm like, wow, like, I can't believe that you're here. That's so cool. And it's just the camaraderie and the love that these players have for each other this season. It was something different.
It was something different. I think that's the perfect way to sum it up. And to see the buy-in, I mean, we talked about it before we started. We went back and had a look at some of the games earlier on in the season as you were putting together the player profiles, and the stands are empty. You know, there was this, you know, the Twitter spaces were created as like this counseling session. All of a sudden we're like in the playoffs, let's scream. And I remember waking up at 1 o'clock in the morning when CJ got traded to jump on the spaces and celebrate with everyone. Like, come on.
Yeah.
it was bizarre.
Yeah, that's a good point, because in the beginning it was probably just like we know this is not fun. We know this is tough. Like, we're going to be here for each other, kind of like air your grievances and be upset. And then things really started to change, and it's been a fun ride. And I think what's cool is everybody in that building believed from the beginning. And that's something that Coach Green never wavered in, is what he saw in those players, what he felt like they could be and who they could be as a team. And that's what really pulled this team through, is just the demeanor and the belief of the head coach. And as we mentioned, his ability to work with each of the players. And it was a great hire, right? Like,
he's wicked. He's awesome.
It's crazy. And I love watching him, because he doesn't, like, even practice. Like, he never changes his demeanor. He's just, you know, even keel. And every once in a while, he'll step in and say, no, guys, like, come on, I need more from you right now. Like, we need to practice at a higher level. We got to play with pace. We got to run it like we're going to run it in a game, you know, and he'll take a moment to kind of call the team up, as he says. But yeah, I mean, other than that, I think that's what made it so cool at the end of the season when we saw that emotion from him, when, oh, it was gut wrenching. Like, it's just crying. Can't imagine what he'd been through all year and the faith that he had to have and to have it be done. It was probably a relief, you know, to like, man, we did it. We got here. We made it to the playoffs. Like, look what this team accomplished. And then also being sad that it was over. It was that moment of him walking off the court, just crying. You don't see people do that, no. But that's how much he cared.
That's something else. That was, and it was, I think everyone felt that, you know, after that, I rewatched the last quarter of that game a few times, just like, now what am I going to do? What right. am I going to do?
If Chris Paul just misses one shot, like
just one. Yeah.
Then watching the playoffs, you know, there's been so many moments where I'm like, God, the Pelicans could totally compete with this team. Like, oh my gosh.
Oh, it's so frustrating.
Yeah.
But I suppose the good thing is, and fingers crossed, I mean, we predicted that we're going to make the playoffs in our last one. That's what we said. We'd speak again when we were talking, playing playoffs, and we did it.
We were naively optimistic at that point, I think.
I think we were looking for anything at that point. What's next? What's next for the Pelicans? Is this the beginning? Do you think?
Yeah. I think that at this point, David Griffin said it at the exit interviews, you know, we have all the pieces. We're happy with what we have here. And with the addition of Zion, a healthy Zion, what more do you really need? Sure, you can tweak a couple things. You can, you know, obviously we have the draft coming up, but I think that they're good enough to compete with what they have right now. So then if you do add some people, you do make some changes, then how much better do you get? And then once they start getting time to play together, and if Zion can get back to what he was doing before he got hurt, this team has the potential to really come out in a big way this year. And I don't think that it's a stretch to say that they could, you know, win the West.
Yeah, no, I completely agree that I think we can come out of the West. I think the team is absolutely primed. I think it's got a whole heap of young talent as well as big guys, big veterans, big name veterans that are going to help us get there. And it's exciting. I tell you what, I'm excited, and I am chomping at the bit to get over there at the end of the year to hopefully watch a homestand over in New Orleans. So we'll see what happens.
You're coming here?
Yeah, we're coming.
Nice.
December, I think, will be the plan over Christmas time. So that should be hopefully where they're in New Orleans. Otherwise, they're going to be in New York. That's the two places. But so
yeah, we have to wait until August for the schedule to come out.
Yeah,
so we're just kind of waiting for that. But we have the draft, you know, in a couple weeks. So that'll be exciting. And then we'll have summer league, and then August we'll get to kind of pick apart the schedule and see how things are going to shake out for us.
Absolutely. It's very, very exciting. I mean, pick 8 in the draft coming up. We're looking forward to seeing who we're going to pick there. What's that, in a couple of weeks? All very exciting. And then summer league, where we'll see that person, as well as, I don't know, probably a few of the young guys will get another run out, at least until, I don't know, if they send Herb Jones down there, it's just unfair. I think he's too good. Trey Murphy as well, probably. It's going to be very awesome to see them out there running around again. And
it was interesting because last year, you know, a lot of the guys went because they didn't get a lot of time playing because of COVID and the restrictions of, they didn't get a lot, any time really practicing. I think they only really had a couple live practices last year. So, you know, Najee was there.
Yeah, that's right.
Obviously the guys that were drafted. So some of the younger guys did come because they wanted to get a little more run. So it'll be interesting to see, because all of our young guys played quite a bit this past season.
Yeah.
So it'll be interesting to see who is out there and who's playing.
Absolutely. I'm looking forward to more Pills basketball, because at the moment, I mean, the finals, we saw game one. That was pretty awesome. But I mean, it'd be much better if the Pills were there, I tell you what.
Of course it would be. And it's going to, I mean, basketball is going to be over before we know it. We got a couple days until the next game. And
I don't know what I'm going to do with myself, I tell you what.
Well, about a month before Summer League starts, right?
Yeah. Yeah, I'm going to be twiddling my thumbs, I think. I don't know what. Wait for something to start, because, yeah, there'll be no basketball and I don't know what I'm going to do. But, Aaron, thank you so much for your time today.
Of course. It's been great
catching up again and having a chat. Yeah, it was really awesome. I appreciate your time. Have you got anything you'd like to plug or anything coming up that you'd like to let people know about?
Well, I mean, if you're going to be here in New Orleans for the draft, we will have an event at the Smoothie King Center. I think it's the season ticket holders event. We're going to have a live show before the draft from 6 to 7, which will be streamed online. So you guys can watch and hang out with us on draft night. It'll be myself and Daniel Salerson. So that'll be fun. We'll kind of get, you know, some last minute predictions and hopefully get some good guests on and everything to give you some insight into the draft. And then we'll kind of take it in and we'll talk to David Griffin after it's over and then take a little break. And I'll be at Summer League with Jim Eichenhofer. We'll be there for the whole time. So we'll have lots of fun content from that as well. So we're going to try to keep you guys with something Pelicans for the summer, something to tide you over.
Oh, fantastic. Well, I'm sure I heard a few people are going out to Summer League to go and watch some of the Pels. Yeah. Fans will be out there. So yeah, no doubt they'll be cheering on the Summer Pels as well. And I'll be doing it from the comfort of my lounge room. But thank you so much. And we'll have to do it again sometime.
Sounds great. Thank you.
So thank you so much to Erin for joining us on the show. It's always great to chat with her. And what a fantastic turnaround that we had. Obviously, the record at the date we last spoke, being the 9th of January, was 16-28. And we remember that we started 3-16. It took a little while to get to that point, but they fought back. The next game was Jose's game at Madison Square Garden. If you don't remember, you'll remember that game. And if that triggers your memory to cast back before the CJ trade, before all of that, before Brandon Ingram was snubbed as an all-star, that's when we last spoke. So we had a lot of optimism and, you know, it was well-founded because we ended up making the playoffs, as we know. So thank you very much to Erin. And if you're around on draft night, like she plugged, go and check out the draft event that they're going to have on, Erin and Daniel Salerson, which will be fantastic, no doubt. And if you don't get down to the Smoothie King Center because you're not season ticket holder, well, you'll be able to watch it on the live stream. So go and enjoy that, and there'll be plenty more coming up. So I'm going to leave it at that. Thank you once again to Erin. This is the Sports Ethos New Orleans Pelicans podcast. I'm Lyle Swithenbank, at Ethos Pelicans on Twitter, at Lyle Swithenbank. Stay safe, and bye for now.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Thank you.
Get all the MasterForce outdoor power equipment you need to maintain your yard at Menards. Own the outdoors with MasterForce 80-volt power equipment, delivering all the power of gas without the maintenance. The entire 80-volt line is powered by brushless motors for ultimate performance and productivity. From lawnmowers to leaf blowers, string trimmers, and more, find everything you need to create the lawn of your dreams with MasterForce power equipment at Menards.
Save big money at Menards.